Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Our spe very special guest today is Brian Tseng, the Solar Bee and the conference promoter for the Full Disclosure Conference, which is coming up very shortly. I'm going to be a speaker on that conference, and I'm really excited about it. Without any further ado, Brian Tseng, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James. It's an honor and pleasure to be here. I love being on shows for the first time, especially when it's the show of a friend and a presenter.
Well, thank you. Well, tell us a bit about yourself and this labor of love you created. How long has Full Disclosure been going on for, and what is your intentions and desire behind it? Because it sounds like a wonderful idea.
So for me, the full disclosure movement itself is totally predates me, obviously. I mean, and Phil Schneider and, people before him. And with time travel, all bets are off for when it actually began, right? But my entree really began in earnest around March of 2023, after my own Facebook account got banned for too much truth during a certain worldwide medical crisis and things like that. And I came back with a new account and friended Sean Bond at the Psionic League because I have an interest in full disclosure. I saw the need for medical beds for everybody, all my loved ones and everybody else, among other things, and clean energy, anti-gravity, and for the truth to be revealed. And that's where full disclosure comes in, not partial disclosure, limited hangout disclosure, gatekept, exposure. What we really need is to the best from the bottom up, top then top down, but really from the bottom up, total full disclosure. Every time someone suggests total exposure, I get visions of a guy naked under a trench coat jumping out from an audience. So I went with full disclosure. And for the conferences now, just to kind of emphasize it. And we're also launching the Full Disclosure Network and an app and a cryptocurrency. And then the platform is going to include all sorts of bells and whistles to incorporate all of that with the community sponsors. Live trips to sacred sites around the world, an expanded conference series, which it will be ongoing and bigger and bigger and better, together with all the content from the presenters, people like you. I shy away from the word content creators because, we are content creators, but it's not, we're not, it's based off of real life testimony.
What jumps out at me when I look at the lineup of presenters is it's very, and I believe intentionally so, experience heavy, which is fantastic. I've always differentiated between knowledge on the one hand and wisdom on the other. To me, wisdom, my definition of wisdom anyway, is knowledge gained through experience, through having lived through things. And when you have that caliber of speakers, people who've walked the walk, been there, done that presents a powerful spectacle. And not that we're trying to appeal to the, I don't know if lowest common denominator is the right term, but for people that are woefully ignorant about this, it's not so much from my perspective that, we have to convince anybody, because I think that the power of having all those speakers come on with the conviction of having lived through all of this, if someone's neutral, they're going to be just knocked right off their socks when they hear the testimony of these people. Not only the challenges that they've had to overcome, but their ultimate personal triumph and how it coalesces into this movement. So please take it any direction you want.
Well, I want to speak to that, James, and I know that you, as an experiencer, testifier, whistleblower, and someone who's, you're doing your utmost to get the word out to the world and advance the movement. A lot of those people on my stage, they remember each other up in space or in the underground bases or vice versa. And some remember each other and, the other people don't remember, it's like, let's say, Someone will remember Drago, but Drago might not necessarily remember them. It doesn't matter. When you take all these testimonies together, for me personally, as an organizer, advocate, researcher, that's kind of the gold standard, first person testimony of the same exact events, and then that corroborate whether or not the people down here know each other or not. And in the here and now, they're testifying the same exact things and the recall. And then I, with my role, ability in the community or place, because I'm very well connected, having thrown the events and a lot of it also, when I co-organized with James Rink of supersoldiertalk.com, the 2023 Summer Montauk Adventure Tour. Okay. Getting to be with experiencers or survivors of the Montauk Project, who are now men and women, but who are children, boys and girls, very young children, as young as like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, during the Montauk Project, as depicted in Stranger Things and totally whitewashed by Peter Moon's Montauk Chronicles series, because it was misfed information by Preston Nichols and Al Bielek, among others. I've gotten to see real life experiencers sharing recall right there at Camp Hero Army Base. It was very powerful, and it was so emotional. No one I doesn't I mean I'm past the whole I want to believe. It's I know, and then I know you know. And so many more of us have woken up and know and are experiencing it to the level of it's no longer just ideological or hypothetical, but it's where we have actionable intelligence, where when we act on it properly, it moves our lives forward spectacularly, in positive ways. And it's material, it's visceral. And it's my understanding, and many people in our community agree with me, that the light has won. Whatever battles it is, the light has won over evil, not just darkness, but evil. And it's already happened in the higher realms. It's taking time to trickle down and manifest fully down here in the 3D. In the meantime, it's going to be a wild ride, and that's what we signed up for, all of us.
That's exactly how I feel. I mean, I believe that people like you and I and the others in this upcoming conference, in most cases, I would say we've had past slash parallel incarnations as what we would term aliens. I believe that a great many of us participated in the Orion Wars, and what's going on here is an extension of that. And if you look at our solar system, I've said this many times at the risk of sounding redundant, but if you look at our solar system, and I'm not the first one to point this out, it looks for all the world like a battlefield. You have the asteroid belt where there should be a very large planet. You have Dr. John Brandenburg talking about how there's absolute evidence
Can I
that,
speak to that, James?
yeah, please.
Apparently, the name of that planet was Tiamat, got blowed up and turned into the Kuiper Belt. That's all over around our solar system here. And many people will say it's called Maldek. And when I talk to people who have Galactic Federation type contacts, they say, please don't call it that. Maldek is a Draco reptilian word for our turf. And so they were fighting for this planet Tiamat with whomever, and it got blown up. And that was also probably around when maybe Mars also had its atmosphere and environment compromised.
Yes, thank you. I mean, I hesitated in saying Maldek because I've always thought of it as Tiamat. And then what happened was, and I won't go into specifics about this, but there was someone out there, and I won't say who exactly they are. They were pushing the Maldekian line, right, along with other Confederates, so to speak. And, not to cast aspersions on their motivations or whatever, but to me, that never sat well with me. To me, I've always thought about it as Tiamat. And you look at Uranus tilted on its side. How did that happen? So the point being is that the conflict has been a constant in our little corner of the multiverse. And I say, with no apology whatsoever, that I have been a warrior in this struggle, lo, these many lifetimes, and many others have. And it's not that we're being resistant or against any notion of love and light, but before we can get to that love and light level, before we can have peaceful coexistence, harmonious existence, everything on our planet militates against peaceful coexistence, of us just wanting to be left alone. And the attack vectors come from so many different directions, from the hybridized, entity-infested institutions here on the surface, to these unseen, archontic attacks coming from all different directions. And we have to be aware of the nature of the multiple threat environment in which we reside. And so when you fast forward to the present day, what I would like to see, Brian, and this is just me, this is not anyone else, I'd like your thoughts on this, is so many of us, my labs, have been utilized in these ops. And some of them, I'm sure, were used to advance this whole Draco Orion empire. What I would like to see is for us to start to turn this thing around. I think we've already made serious inroads into this. Your conference is an example of that. But
I can give
turn
you
this.
some, I can give you some exact and not some examples exactly that, James, already.
Well, please give us some examples.
So, Arkeem Ra, for example, on his own Disclosure Now podcast that I got to be a guest contributor on for a bit, along with Nathan Cizik and Dan Armstrong, on there and on other platforms, other experiencers have spoken about how to recall and reintegrate alters. And, David Purcell in our community, who's been on Robert Khalil's Typical Skeptic podcast at least 4 times now, I believe, speaking a lot about this stuff, having regained his recalls, he put that into practice of saying, hey, any of my altered soul fragments, soul shards, parts of me that are out there, for the highest, greatest good, come on back. Feel free to come on and return to me, especially if you're being hijacked or used out there. And so David Purcell in particular, he tried this and he kind of got a vision or a download of like a reptilian body of his just falling down kind of lifeless on some ship out there in space. Okay. And then later being visited at night by a reptilian consciousness, he said, wait, what do you want? What do you want here? And the being said, you called me. And it was really his soul fragment. And he realized, okay, and he reintegrated it. And then later on, I don't know if it was that probably another following evening or two that week. Don't quote me to speak to with David Purcell. He was visited by two nasty Draco beings, at least, who said, hey, you can't do what you're doing. You're violating these agreements. And he said, F your agreements. Exactly.
Off.
Right. Exactly. Those are made under duress. Your agreements, I don't recognize it. I recognize my sovereignty. Exactly. And by doing these techniques, we're literally depopulating their slave army of us.
Yes,
Okay.
and
And
this is what
that
I
has
want
a
to.
real effect.
It is,
Please,
and
James.
I can't wait to get, like private chats with all of you too, guys and gals. Because the kind of strategizing that we can do, the immense power that we have, wielded justly and fairly and righteously, we will turn this thing around. I look at us as like the Australian Coast Watchers of World War II. I mean, someone had to hide out in the bush, right, in the Solomon Islands and the coast of New Guinea, and report these incoming air raids and report these. Coastal convoys, these convoys headed down to Guadalcanal and stuff, all the while having to lug heavy radio equipment, being chased by patrols, right? Somebody had to stay behind and do this. We could have sat this out, Brian. You know what I mean? Just decide, no, I'm not going to go through the, rinse repeat cycle of incarnations on Earth. I'm going to, sit on cloud nine and play a harp or something. We could have opted
No,
out.
you know what, actually, James, I personally believe if you and I and so many others had done that, we would be in a lower timeline.
Yes.
Because I don't think the timeline would be where it is now if we hadn't been working our busy bee butts off for however many years and however many ways that everyone has done to anchor the light. To all the so-called black sheep out there, we've always been the radiant lions and
Yes.
positive dragons and guardians. And, when you put up whatever Christmas tree lights, you don't just keep them all bundled up and stick them on your house. You take them and string them all out. So if you look at it, like each family, if they were lucky, got one of us. Maybe if they had twins and were really lucky, they got two, or like an uncle and then like a son or daughter down in there. And they linked up with star seeds as family directly. But otherwise, it's been a lonely road for so many of us. And it was seemed intentionally so. We had to live the human experience to be able to karmically shift it and
Yes.
also perhaps make up for any karmic loads that we brought into this life from, say, Egyptian or Babylonian, Sumerian, Atlantean, Lemurian, lifetimes already here on Earth.
The story that you just described was brilliant because it's something that I've felt for a long time. We conduct what I refer to as incarnational infiltrations, that we will, at an oversoul level, we will decide intentionally to incarnate, to be a part of the Draco culture, to be a part of the reptilian culture. Because the best spy, the best operative is one who doesn't know he's an operative, at least consciously, right? So we're there, we're living by their standards, by their mores, probably up to the same, at times somewhat sadistic, vile behaviors that some of these civilizations get up to. But there's no better way to understand a civilization and a culture than being on the inside. So I've heard similar stories that David had related, where these good reptilians, quantum entanglement being what it is, Brian, as you know, our counterparts out there, whether they're alternate reality counterparts of ourselves or our ET, non-human counterparts, so to speak, they're still out there. We're still intricately connected with them. But as you know, this matrix system is set up to set up these firewalls. We are the sum of all of our parts, so they want to keep us atomized, fragmented, separated through trauma and other means. So I thought that was a wonderful story just related, where the guy's reptilian counterpart had come and said, well, you called me. And I've heard this so many times, the Draco and the dark side reptilians rock up and say, no, you're not allowed to do that. We're going to punish you. So yeah, I'm looking forward to meet David. That's going to be a great conversation.
Yeah, and even better is off of that, David's had these really beautiful positive interactions where he has taken it on himself instead of reacting in anger and using astral or psychic fire to the point where they've literally shouted at him, Pindar, Pindar. And I said, David, do you realize what they're yelling at you? He's like, I don't know what Pindar means. I just get a psychic image of a lizard penis. I'm like, yeah, Pindar means reptile dick. And they basically worship the head reptile dick. And so by yelling Pindar, they're saying, we yield, you're the head dick. Stop frying us astrally with your fire. He's like, oh, that makes so much sense. It's like, this is how I know people aren't making this stuff up. And then he remembers some of our people up there in Nachtwaffen. He remembered me. It's part of why I reached out to him. He said that he had his recall of me being part of his Nachtwaffen crew, where he was a captain. I was astro navigator. Robert Kalilv, typical skeptic, was like his enforcer, who's like very, like almost like mute, but super psychically powerful. And like no one wanted to mess with Rob up there. And then a bunch of other people. But with me, he said I was his astro navigator. So I went to Drago Reed. And I said to Drago, who has a lot of knowledge of Nachtwaffen and Kruger and secret space programs, I said, so Drago, is David Purcell, gentleman, is saying blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, Brian, if he's full of crap, if he says that you as his astro navigator on his Nachtwaffen ship were right on the same bridge as he was as the captain, because they keep the astro navigator separate because if things get like really active on the bridge, you don't want the person like telepathically linked to the ship to have to be all distracted by all that. You want them separate flying the ship. Okay. And so I went back to David Purcell on video chat and I said, hey, David, You said I was your astro navigator on your ship. Where was I relative to you on the bridge since you were the captain? He said, oh, no, you weren't near me on the ship at all. You were in this separate area of the ship, like the engine room or a cargo hold with like its helmet on your head and wires coming out of it and like two attendants, one on either side of you at all times to make sure your needs were met, It's like, oh, okay. So stuff like that, I get that stuff over and over, I mean, that's a more blatant example, but both Susan Long and Veronica Bartolini have recall of me from the Hulk program in a white lab coat while they, up in like the skybox area overlooking like a factory floor where they were both being cybernetically enhanced. It was really painful, their experiences, what they were going through, and how there were even reptilian or maybe Anunnaki technicians down there who was really rough with them, just not caring on them at all. And so a lot of people who remote view it or people who are telepathically, I take it face value with them, linked in contact with ETs or Sasquatch beings who validate or verify a lot of this information. The hypnosis, people who get it from hypnosis, and I know a lot of people poo-poo that, but I just want to say, hey, these are one of hundreds of data points that I'm
Yes.
taking and I mesh it all together. And then people can criticize me all they want. Oh, Brian's listening to people who went under hypnosis. Well, yeah, it's one data point among
It's one
so
data
many.
point.
Sure. Yeah.
And what we're talking about is pattern data correlations, where you're having from widely separated sources, oftentimes sources that don't know one another, are coming up with the same bits and pieces that together form this mosaic, this picture. And I've experienced the same thing. I had Christy Campbell on my show in the recent past, and a lot of times I have to just sit there and bite my tongue. This is what happened with Tyler Koala too. It's like biting my tongue because I didn't want to just keep interjecting, "Oh, that happened to me," when they're both talking. But when Christy talked about the Chinese element, the
She has
Chinese.
recall of me. Christy has recall of me in space training with her with mantis beings and kung fu. And it might not be this timeline, this world, but it's like an alternate reality or another lifetime, whatever it is.
I've heard the
She has
same thing
recall of a
about
lot of
me. I've
people.
had two different
Yeah.
people, one of whom was a world-class psychic, a remote viewer, past life viewer, who said that, in a past life here on Earth, I was something like a Shaolin monk. But long before I was a Shaolin monk,
Why am I not surprised, James?
I was an ET, and I taught and was taught through like this lineage, these what amounts to martial arts. And get this, a lot of people don't realize this, but there is an element within the Arcturans that are like a warrior caste. There's an element of the Arcturans that are what we would think of as like a Shaolin monks, or like warrior monks almost. But we always hear about them being peaceful and being always peaceful, always, benevolent. But no, there's an element of them, like a warrior caste within the Arcturans that, and apparently some of
The
my
real Shaolin down here on Earth are or were, badasses. So I
were.
wouldn't be surprised. Like the warrior aspect is no surprise to me. I mean, I think a lot of people confuse maybe Shaolin with Buddhism sometimes, but it's an aspect and in its own way with Shaolin. But Shaolin is much more than that because, it really began with a lot of the peasants who, under their feudal landlords and warrior caste, were not allowed weaponry. And
Yes.
so they had to make do the best they could. And then they probably had ET contacts who showed them the ways, like
Yes.
perhaps here yourself in other incarnations and times. And here we are.
And getting back to Christy, she was talking about some of her experience with Mars and the interactions she had at times, sometimes hostile interactions with like this deep black space element of Chinese intelligence. And I can relate to that because I don't know, I guess because we both look kind of Asian, Brian, right? So it was relatively easy to kind of insinuate me into these scenarios. And I'm not
Well, they
telling.
want to recruit us. We're hot shit to them. If they could recruit us, we would be awesome assets for, whatever Asiatic or posing as an Asian intelligence if they thought that was a way to recruit us, you know, out of some kind of patriotic or ethnic appeal, I suppose.
Well, that's what the CCP does here on the surface. Like, well, if you're ethnic Chinese, then de facto you're one of us, whether you want to be or not, right? Like,
Exactly. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Seriously, you go to China and you show them American passport. They thought when you're thinking they could. They didn't do it to me, but they weren't happy. They definitely threw the passport down. Oh, what is this? You know, because they wanted a CCP China passport
yes.
instead of me showing my American passport because
Right. And if
I was
you
American
or someone
born.
like you was an amenable or open to certain things, then all these friendship societies start walking up
Honeypots. They got
to
honeypots. Eric
honeypots.
Swalwell calling you out in U.S.
Well,
Congress. Ahem.
that's what we're
Yes.
talking about also, Brian. And I've talked about this before. There's a cosmic espionage aspect to this because on the surface, it's just like, well, who's this person fronting for? You know, CCP. You know, in the old days, it would have been like Soviet intelligence, the Bulgarian, who exactly? Here in our realm, it's like, well, it's not only if someone is a potential asset or an agent, witting or otherwise, because we know compartmentalization of the mind, trauma-based mind control being what it is, where the front altar may not even be consciously aware. I said the best operatives are the ones who don't know their operatives, but it's not only that, another level above it, well, you know, is this person hosting a mantis being, a malevolent mantis being? Is this person hosting a malevolent reptilian being? So it's a cut above surface level espionage. It's like a cosmic espionage aspect. And those
We
entities,
wrestle, James, for we wrestle not with flesh and
flesh and
blood,
blood.
but spirits and powers and principalities way above us, you know.
Yes.
And then not only is there that ET element, and at first there's like 3D matrix where we're lost in this 3D,
The
you know,
miasma, yeah.
distorted miasma. And then you've got the bloodline families running that. That's the Illuminati. We'll just call it. Like the Khazarian mafia cabal, Luciferians, as I like to call them. And then above them are the ETs.
Yes.
And then above them are like the demonic type beings. And then above them are like, you know, Lucifer, Satan, and then some weird quantum AI stuff, and then all the H.P. Lovecraft stuff out of
Yes,
time and
the old
space.
ones.
But above it all, really, right? But above it all is God's source, and it's all meant to be, and it's okay. And so, you know, we're all playing our roles, and with free will, I like to think that we're all working for the highest timelines
Yes.
we can achieve.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of things are trending in that direction across the board. It's a concept whose time has come. Even the limited hangout we see with the so-called, congressional inquiries and the UIPs, et cetera, I wouldn't say it opened the door because there's still ultimately limited hangouts, but at least, to the public, it just threw them a bone. But you look how they quickly retracted said bone when we started having all these manifestations of UFOs all over the place. The media quickly wrote them off as, oh, these drones, they're from Iranian motherships, what have you. And the alacrity with which these surface level truthers, oh, yes, they're drones. The same media
James,
we
can I
see,
speak to that?
oh,
Can I speak
please.
to this? Ex because actually, it's so apropos to the conference we're about to be at in less than a week and a half, 10 days from now, not even. Because if we come to the evening before meet and greet hosted by my bestie and our lovely friend, Sarah R. Adams, who is herself in the programs and the last girlfriend of Max Spears, Super Soldier, revealed by Miles Johnston, who will also be there for the Basis Project before Max himself was assassinated in Poland, I believe. And we're just talking about the drones in New Jersey. First, there were Iranian motherships and then Chinese drones from Temu or Wish.com or whatever. What it really was is our friends from the Farsight Institute. Yemi Janae will be there again this year presenting on the main stage, and she's bringing several of the ladies. Her fellow remote viewers of the Farsight Institute. Unfortunately, Dr. Courtney Brown and Aziz Brown aren't available yet this year, but Kamaya Dunston, I believe, and another one or two, in addition to Yeme, will be there. They were told during one of their ET boardroom meetings last November 13th, 2025, that the Galactic Federation types were going to have their craft worldwide in their skies, just friendly and hovering. November 15th, they aired that on their platforms. November 18th, worldwide UFO sightings. The media immediately pivoted it to drones in just New Jersey, and they kept it focused on that, some of which craft were spraying noxious gases on people and animals, making them sick. Okay. And the world gave those in the, who thought they were in the know, gave credit to Cliff High and his AI algorithm because they detected a spike in UFO sightings or whatever the terminology was. When in reality, the Farsight Institute friends got it and said it in plain English in a very tight window to when it actually happened. And I believe they deserve all the credit in the world. And it's good it's verified by Cliff High's algorithm as well. I don't want to take credit away from Clifford's algorithm, but I also want to make sure credit is given where credit's due. And also, I want to point out the limited hangout psyop of the of exactly how it played out, where you have a really very real phenomenon. The other side wants to cover it up, and it's kind of like, you know, let's say there's a political rally and people are having a great time, and then the Haymarket affair, the enemy, they send in infiltrators wearing, you know, the Make America Great hats when they're against, say, that group. They blow up a bomb inside that and they say, look, they're all violent. You know, that's kind of the similar aspect here.
And the timing of it all too, where it, just in the recent past, we've had the mainstream media, that soon to be extinct dinosaur media, push back vigorously against this. Oh, well, where have you heard of this before? Everything that we're seeing is like some long-standing psyop, you know, to conceal these weapons developments programs. It's just complete nonsense because they're losing control of the narrative. Disclosure is from the ground up. It's grassroots, and we're pushing upwards and outwards. We're forcing change upon institutions and entities that don't want change. They want to keep this a closed system. I keep looking back at the, you know, the you know, the farming analogy, or if it, or like a twisted, distorted version of that game Civilization, where, you know, you start off with just the basics and you expand it into like a modern civilization. But in this context, it's a closed Luciferian. I like that term. We're just constantly oppressed and made to exude negative trauma-based louche, right? But, you know, the thing that's significant to me is each one of these people at your conference encoded within their very DNA, encoded within their morphic resonance field and their various energy bodies is everything we need to know to turn this around. And I'll talk to you privately. I'm going to go into this in my lecture. But there are certain ways and means with which we can unlock these codes, in which we can tap into a pre-existing information stream, because we are plugged into the information field. It just through all the trauma and the rinse recycling and everything else that we've just, in many cases, become almost completely detached from it. It's been a you know, a work in progress to get where we're at now. But I absolutely believe, and you bring up the Farsight Institute, that's going to be absolutely key, because a lot of us are natural, innate remote viewers. We're natural astral travelers. We're natural. We're multidimensional in nature. Hence the reason why, and I'm not saying this in an elitist sense, but the reason why we've been plugged into these programs, because of our bloodlines, because of our the latent power within our DNA. So I think that if we can channel our sources, combine them, you know, what's the term that businesses use? You know, where everyone has a certain department, the things that they're really good at, to a division of labor, so to speak, right?
Yeah, operationalizing it along where
Operationalizing it
everyone
in.
wants to be, where they have that there's that Japanese, like, I don't know, it's called Koji, where it's like, you know, that intersection of what you're good at and what you love and what the world needs,
Yes.
and that intersection and how to be kind of manifest that on all levels on an ongoing time and space way, which requires discipline and practice and vision and dedication. And all of that is definitely happening. We're being unlocked. And now's the time because, you know, literally as we enter into the age of Aquarius, our solar system, star, you know, the sun and our planet are literally being bathed in much higher frequencies and energies. It's burning out the light. This is a time that's been prophesied, right? Where all is going to be revealed. That's a, you know, an apocalypse. You know, it's another, is what that term means. It's all is going to be revealed. Or one interpretation of that. And then the ability of us at the civilian level to get access to above military grade, secret space program grade people who have been in these programs, which is why so many were taken in the first place, as you point out, James. I mean, for me, that's a total X factor. It's like you've got a problem in your life, you've got missing people, and you want to find them, and it's been years, and you've just dead ends, but now you can consult remote viewers, psychics, trance mediums, angelics, Sasquatch, or the forest people, you know, via these telepathic people in our community, and can consult them. That's the type of intelligence and assets that we're starting to use on our side with like Olivia James, Gray Mouse, remote viewing, or psychic spying into the other side as they try to handle us and target us in my lab, us. We're outing that you, Dennis Pearson, you know, of the Princeton group out of Atlanta in your farty office with your stale coffee, you know, and your shit training. You wish you were out here with us, partying with our water slides, going around to campouts and festivals, having a great time. And that's up to you.
Yes, because quantum entanglement, once again, being what it is, these controllers and would-be controllers think they have it all over us, that they can just plug into us, tweak some knobs. But it works the other way as well, because I know many instances where, like a my lab, male or female, doesn't matter, but suddenly in their etheric third eye vision, oh, they're tuning into me. And he or she will see these idiots, you know, sometimes in military uniform, sometimes just geek civilians. They're at some control panel tweaking knobs and pushing buttons, but they don't realize that we can turn things around, that we can, with our willpower and with our innate metaphysical powers, for lack of a better term, we can make life difficult for them, right? Where they can start, we can start messing with their technology, messing with the technicians, tweaking the knobs and pushing the buttons. And that's happened before. A buddy of mine, he was living in a houseboat off San Diego, and he was in my lab, and he was constantly being plagued by these black helicopters. And as you know, these black helicopters aren't always black helicopters. Sometimes they're UFOs and helicopter guys. I mean, that's well known amongst people like us. But whether on this occasion it was a helicopter or it was some exotic craft or otherwise, my friend was so pissed because he just wanted to just kick back on his houseboat and relax. And here they come again, disrupting his, you know, privacy. So he just looked at him and he just focused with intent, and he made this thing just zigzag all over the sky until it just left, right? So he tapped right into them and effed with them to such an extent that they said, this isn't worth it, you know. We'll just leave them be for now. And if people realize their innate power, that we were plugged into these programs precisely because we can interface with alien technology, precisely because at a deep soul level, we could read alien symbol language, we could speak and read certain alien text at a deep soul level, it's just a process of reintegration, like you were saying.
Like I can't tell you how many people I've been around in our community who will alter out, and then it's the same types of alters for the same types of reasons. They're not faking that. or people who break out spontaneously into light language or Arcturian. I mean, and I've heard different dialects of different things, and different people be able to point it out. Oh, that sounds like Arcturian or Enochian or Andromedan or light language. I don't understand any of what it is, but the words sound kind of similar to me from a linguistic perspective. And these are totally different people in different situations and places.
I was told by my family that, at turns at night when I was a boy sleeping, and I had a problematic sleep history when I was a boy, always waking up in places other than my bed, even though I slept in an upper bunk. But anyway, they would hear me speaking these strange languages in my sleep. Some of them are very vowel oriented. And, in my studies, I was wondering, well, geez, could that be like Enochian or something like that? And then other times they'd hear me speaking what seemed to be some kind of Oriental or Asian language, right? And I've had experiences where my German is like somewhat conversational at best, right? But somehow, some way, depending on our state of being, state of consciousness, at times we can speak fluently in some of these experiences for whatever reason, right? And the languages vary. And I remember after this one experience, I was literally in one of these. If you remember when the SAS took down the Iranian embassy in 1980, they were in the black assault suits and the gas mask and all that stuff, right? I was wearing one of those outfits and I was in the process of doing room cleaning. I swear to room clearing. I swear that, running through a house, like a big mansion kind of thing, with other guys that are dressed similarly, right? And we were going around clearing these rooms. And I'm skipping a lot of detail here, but at one point I was in the big conference room. And the only other person in that conference room was a person, an older guy, who looked for all the world like a World War II German field marshal with the field marshal overcoat and the whole bit. He starts talking to me in German, right? And at the time I understood him. But during that experience, after we did a lot of these exercises with these room clearings and what have you, the SAS guy next to me took off his balaclava and his gas mask, and he had long hair, scruffy looking. He looked like he just walked out of undercover jobs in Belfast somewhere, right? So I said to him, "Have you ever done anything like this before?" And he goes, "Oh, what? You mean London database ops?" "Yes, I've done it a lot of times." I go, "London database ops. Is that what this is?" Right? And then another little interesting aspect of that experience was during some of these drills, these exercises, of room clearing, there was one operator. He was wearing like a full black helmet with a big plexiglass shield, right? But it was a black helmet, black outfit. I didn't know
That
what the heck to
plexiglass shield is bulletproof or resistant, at least. That's a big Lucite block that, you could take a direct 9 mil, at least, or 10 mil, 45 to,
That would
or
make absolute
reflective.
sense. And then one fine day, I'm watching a documentary on History Channel or something, and they did a segment on the German GSG-9 counterterrorist unit. And they were wearing the exact same outfit that I'd seen, that big plexiglass bullet resistant
Yeah,
thing.
because most people, they're not seeing that. I mean, and you're not just making that up. It's something that you wouldn't have thought of on your own.
I mean, and I'm well steeped in special operations stuff. That's what I do. But I'd never seen that outfit before until I saw the documentary. I go, "That's exactly what I saw." I was blown away.
Yeah, you recognize equipment and guns and body armor and what's standard, and then you're like, that's like a full on tactical SWAT outfit where the person knows they're going to get shot in the face, and that's why they've got that thick Lucite block. Because normally in combat, you don't want to be running around with like a 3-inch thick block. It's really probably super heavy and cumbersome. But if you know you're going to, say, a hostage situation and you're room clearing and it's close quarters combat, then that's exactly what you want to wear.
And a lot of the people at the conference are also instructors. Some of us, for whatever reason, were tasked with training others, but also, lack of a better term, and for the detractors out there who are always looking to, to pick up, find chinks in the armor and find reasons to criticize us, right? Because I don't understand the context entirely. But there have been times, whether it's been on a like a spaceship, an installation on the surface, sometimes we seem to be like training kids or training teenagers. Like people have seen me on board of a craft
There's
when I
no,
was.
I mean, but that's not a mystery, James. Of course, it's children and teenagers. That's what these bastards do because, and they show it in all the sci-fi movies. When it makes perfect sense. If you want to mind control somebody, starting from as young as possible for these Luciferians makes so much sense from so many dastard ways. Whereas from our perspective, that's why as the experiencers, we get older and more sovereign, the programming breaks down and the recalls come back. But, that's a lot less likely, in a 14-year-old who's indoctrinated since they were seven.
And we see the baneful effects of just surface level indoctrination, the cultural Marxism, how it's warped the minds of countless young people, right? But in these programs, and like a lot of times I wasn't even training them. I was kind of like, on one occasion, I was in this big, what seemed to be a big sewage drain, looking out into San Diego Harbor. And there's 32nd Street, Naval Station, and then there's the Coronado Bridge. You cross over from San Diego on the Coronado Bridge, and then you're on the Silver Strand. That's where the Navy SEAL base is. And
Yeah,
we're
the
at a
sales
vantage
train
point,
right there.
the SEAL base there, and the vantage point from where we were at. And I was with some kids, and we were looking down at this harbor. We're looking at the naval vessels. We were just like observing is all we were doing, and we were watching these people. Presumably, like SEALs or someone like them, on these small rubber boats out in the harbor there, going underneath the bridge. And there was also times when I was just doing endless amounts of running. There were some adults, some teens, and there was a lot of kids. And I was thinking, man, this is a form of abuse because, the amount of running they're making us do, the amount of running they're making these kids do, right? And then you wake up feeling like you've been run over by a Mack truck or feeling like you've run a marathon. And that happened to me a lot when I was living in San Diego, of all places, right?
Yeah, and I mean, just having the children group together to watch Navy SEALs and their own exercises with the rubber boats, you can learn a lot watching Navy SEALs going through their exercises. And if you're training children to work as a group and you're right in the backyard of the Navy SEALs, that would merit a field trip. And that totally goes along with the whole grooming of children, unfortunately, to be super soldiers. And of course, many of us rightfully point out that it's a misnomer because many people don't feel so super after they've been through what so many have been, being run ragged to the point of, harm being like among, unfortunately, the least of the complaints.
Yes, because the term super soldier, there's some connotations with it. Super implies, glamorized. Like a superstar Reggie Jackson type in our field, and a lot of us don't feel that way. And soldier implies like a willing asset for this Draco Orion Empire, and none of us feel that way, right? So we might have to come up with another term. Excuse me, but in some ways it does describe what it is that we do and find ourselves in, and it goes far beyond the terrestrial, the training on the surface, as you know, because so much of our ops, and thankfully Tyler Kowala was talking about this. I've been talking about this as well, and many others. There's an alternate reality aspect to this as well, where our counterparts, people like us, in other realities, other timelines, are also likewise plugged into these operations. And sometimes what happens, it seems, that the controllers in these alternate realities, for whatever reason, they access us in our reality and utilize us in their ops, sometimes in their realities, their universes. So it goes far beyond Solar Warden. It goes far beyond being utilized in our co strictly in our own cosmos. But we are definitely being used in an interdimensional and an alternate reality sense. And
Well,
a lot
James,
of us have had time travel experiences as well.
Arkim Ra, friend, and he was a roommate here briefly up in Northern Nevada, along with Kat, his girlfriend, fiance, partner. What he testifies to is what you're saying right there. He talks about bubble swaps, where someone in the programs in a timeline will be part of some kind of caper or heist or crime that shifts the timeline that's so bad that they'll literally take that person and then swap them with another version of themselves in another timeline. So that even if they're caught in this timeline, it's a them from the other timeline has no recall of being part of 9/11 or whatever.
Yes, and that's one of the things that a lot of us had to deal with. The whether we're in an altered state, whether we're in a mind controlled state or an alternate version of us or a clone version, that's how deep this whole thing goes, is the fact that we've been utilized in ops and made to do things that normally in our normal waking consciousness we would not do. And they look for certain psychological profiles. They split off with the trauma, and they're looking for people that will take that extra step, will take the shot, so to speak. Whereas those of us that have a conscience, so, should I be doing this? And they don't want us in that state of being where we're questioning what we're doing. They want us to just be. White Wolf in the Scorpion Chronicles talks about this. It's the horrific things they made him do as part of his training, like beating women to death and things like that. That's how sadistic this Draco Orion control system is. They want us to be just these evil hitmen for them, hit women, with no conscience, no remorse. And sadly, there are some, because some will always slip through the cracks. There are some MyLab super soldiers that have kind of succumbed to that, where,
Can I speak to that? I want to speak to that.
please.
So, on the first part of that, it's harder for them to control some of us than others. So, Susan Long, for example, testifies to being how, oh, a lot of people these days are speaking more kindly about Kruger. Well, Kruger, and I hope they don't do this still, but they allow their male assets to assault sexually the female assets. And what Susan would do up in the programs, and apparently the Marvel character Phoenix is based on the real life Susan Long, who also will be at our conference in 10 days from now. She testifies that whenever they would try to assault her on ship, if they didn't get to not conk her out and said she couldn't use her abilities, she would like kill like all say five assaulters at once. Chop their penises off, shove them down their throats, and let that be a testament to anyone else. Like, don't even try it. And others of us apparently were like similar, hard to control, and it wouldn't go with the flow. Amaria Sweet, Rogue Dragon, would apparently use her abilities hooked into the ship as a navigator to help shift some of the ET beings that they were supposed to wipe out into a slightly higher density, kind of like how Bigfoot can shift, so that they were then safe from like the space programs here in the here and now. And so a lot of them recognize that. And so her call sign is Rogue Dragon. There's a lot of those examples that I think to our credit are very heroic on the
Yes.
parts of people like Susan and Amaria. Then there are people who apparently up there in the programs or down there in the bases, they were really nasty. And
Yes.
down here, right now, in the 3D real life, are kind of a bit nasty and abusive and narcissistic and haven't done the work and they're unhealed. And they're the ones who are most susceptible to the black magic and the mind control and voice to skull and scalar
Yes.
wave and, psych, whatever, telepathic, manipulation. And so, I'll name them out. Tomas Alvin has been named by many females in our community for being not only an astral peeping Tom, but astral assaulter
Yes.
and
Astral rape is very common amongst
rapist.
these, a lot of them are reptilian Draco hybrids to begin with, yes.
Yeah, it's not cool. And so if people were to ask, ask me, is Tomas real or fake? I'll say he's very real. He's up there. He was probably a military intelligence officer for Nachtwaffen, as he testifies, and I will not take that away from him. Does that mean that down here I want to work with him and help advance him, in a 3D sense, while he's getting out his testimony to, so he can thrive, not while he's astrally assaulting people in our
Yes.
community or anywhere. No,
Yes.
there are much better, worthy people who have testimonies that are equally compelling and powerful than his, or it doesn't matter if it is less compelling for whatever reason, because I remember less. I don't care. What matters is not uniting for the sake of uniting. It's uniting around higher agreed principles that advance humanity, the movement, this highest timeline for the highest, greatest good of all.
Integrity, accountability, self-accountability. There are some MyLabs, and I don't want to, mention them, but they've taken part in abducting people. They've abused fellow, what amounts to fellow MyLabs, women in particular, sexually assaulted them, right? And one could argue, well, they're in an altered state of being, altered state of consciousness. Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe there's a sadistic side, and what I've seen
Because
on
it's
the
one thing in the
surface.
programs, but when you're in the here and now and you're still doing that crap, I've got a lot less, I mean, I know that the extreme duress in the programs, that's one thing, and that's apparently going to be worked out in military tribunals someday. But if you're in the here and now and you're roofying people or you're whatever it is, that's, you're trying to blame it on your altar, your programming. I don't know.
No,
It's
I don't
washing.
buy that because at times, many of us were compelled to do through utter mind control things that we normally wouldn't do. Okay, I'd say that's a given in some cases. But if there's that element of consciousness, of human integrity still there, it should give someone pause for thought. Because I've been in scenarios where I didn't pull the trigger or I didn't do something that they wanted me to do. Because there was still a semblance of the me in there, in that particular state of being, that hesitated, that wouldn't do it, right? And then I got punished for it. They worked me over because I wouldn't do certain things, right? But it was a matter of principle. No matter what state of being I was in, if there's that semblance of the me in there, right? No, I'm not. I'm resistant to this kind of stuff, right? And I think that we should all, at some level, resist to the nth degree. Anytime they try to make us do something that is intrinsically wrong, and some things are intrinsically wrong, no matter how you chop them up. So, getting back to your point, there are a number of people out there that utilize their abilities. They meet these pretty abductees and MyLabs online, and they begin astrally raping them and gaslighting them and things like that. Or in these ops, they willingly, it seems to me, take part in abducting. Women, female abductees, taking them on advanced craft, taking them through portals, and then taking them to installations somewhere off-world or otherwise, and working them over, beating them, berating them, psychologically, physically, sexually abusing them. That is going on. And that's not even talking about the military aspect, because just as many of us in our field at times, we can manifest these metaphysical abilities and powers. There is a cadre within the ranks of the deep black aerospace military. They have these people in uniform that are astral operators, that are remote viewers, that can do these things. They find them within their ranks. They groom them from childhood, like you say. They pull them into the program from childhood. And if you track back at a soul level, many of these people, just like us, were in the Orion Wars anyway, right? It's like the same group of people on one side or the other, right? And
Can I
that's why
speak
they're
to
please.
that? The reason why, because I have two of my housemates that were having recurring dream recalls of all of us in the Orion Wars together, and I've noticed so many so-called synchronicities or coincidences. It's because the energies that we embodied and who we were in the Orion Wars, those energies are needed now. And that's why the setups feel so similar. Is because we're embodying the same energies, but in the here and now, and a lot of the karma and the connections and the relationships are being replayed, but at whatever level, and it's the spiritual decisions that we make and who we are and what we do that are so important.
We are the sum of all of our parts. So if we were like a commander in the Draco Empire as a Draco, we still retain that in our soul memory, and it could still be of use and benefit to us. Because a lot of those systems, a lot of those programs that the Draco-Orion Empire were utilizing way back when in the linear time sense, they're still in play. They've had no reason to change some of these programs because.
And just because we died and we're wearing a different skin suit, they don't recognize us as being, oh, that was so long ago in a different incarnation. And we're the same entity to them.
Well,
To us, we perceive it as, oh, that was a long galaxy far, far away, long, long time ago. Nothing here nor there to us, my 9 to 5 job, right? But the reality is that they don't recognize that distinction at all. To them, we're that being. And it's just really on us to recognize and even awaken to the fact that there's a distinction in the first place.
indeed, like a lot of times. The Draco and the really bad reps, they have this assumption that we're still working for them, and there's also this aspect that's confounding to them too, because I'm sure the White Draco have come up in your investigations and whatnot. They seem to hold some kind of rank in the Draco Orion scheme of things, especially
Yes,
the
well,
Draco
the
Orion
albino,
queens.
because that's a
Please, please.
Sia'kar, that's the Sia'kar Alpha Draco. The albino is the highest caste,
Yes.
and I've been in touch with, through multiple telepathic people with Her Highness Rum Lumvira, and apparently she's one such. She's a queen of a splinter of a faction because the Draco Reptilian Sia'kar Empire has been falling apart for like thousands of years now and infighting
Yes. And
and yeah.
we've got to exacerbate that syndrome. We've got to further.
Well,
To
I can
dismember
speak
it.
to
We'll
this.
get to that. We'll get to that.
No, I want to speak to that actually. My understanding is that there are more matriarchal versus patriarchal male dominated elements who are tend to be more black goo worshipping and oriented. And then
Yes.
you got these more matriarchal, and like, say, Her Highness Rum Lumvira, wanting to break away from being
Yes.
dominated by black goo. And then David Purcell and others, like, giving love to these Draco, they're able to cleanse them of the influence of black goo. And my understanding is, is one way someone is speaking about really have been back in the Orion Wars is if they talk about black goo. Apparently, black goo, especially towards the latter part of the Orion Wars, were a big deal. And you don't see it anywhere in the Star Wars series. And so, apparently Star Wars is like easy mode where stormtroopers can't shoot. There wasn't black goo. Real life Orion Wars, they could shoot and there was definitely black goo and it was super powerful. It could take you over, assimilate you, and it was nasty. And so apparently that is still a thing. Penny Bradley testifies to drinking black goo as a Nachtwaffe and astronavigator. Because it would heighten intelligence and abilities, but it would also make one more susceptible to mind control, emotionally more dense and less loving, X, Y, and Z. And these conflicts are being played out in these shards or remnants of the Sia'kar Draco Reptilian Empire, where those elements who worship the black goo and see it as a way forward, and those who are like, no, we need to free the and that's where we as humanity can possibly be of assistance.
Absolutely,
And
because I felt for a long time now, Brian, that there are elements, factions within the Draco-Orion Reptilian Empire that want to break free. In fact, me and this is way back in the day, German psychics I was working with, we had healed a number of dragons and healed a number of reptilians. Not only is the black goo element there, but also, I'm sure you heard about this, but there's this similar to the Goa'uld in Stargate SG-1 of all things, right? Where there's this interdimensional snake entity that embeds itself in any kind of life form it can, whether it's
Like a
reptilians,
vril, like an astral vril
like an
parasite, but
astral
higher
vril
level than that.
parasite that takes over, the entity and makes them go dark side, right? So, me and the Germans had spent like 2 weekends pulling these interdimensional snake entities out of these dragons and these reptilians, and before we finish this first segment, getting back to the albino Dracos, what some people don't realize, I'm sure you heard about this, is even when the dark negative reptilians want to work over and do a number on one of us, let's say, what happens is one of us in our example, they're a direct lineal descendant of the albino Dracos. So there's almost like, in a good sense, Brian, it's like in a mafia sense, oh no, you can't touch this my lab. They're a made person. They're
They're
made.
made. Yeah.
They're
Yeah,
made.
exactly. That's happened to certain people. Audrey Walters, she was being worked over really badly. And apparently, at one point, one of her starseed family appeared, or someone said, or word got back to her starseed family because someone else, another ET, recognized Audrey for who she really is, not just
Yes.
Audrey Walters, a human. Is like, whoa, this is like a they call it the Jenibu. And there's also like a Palladian faction that are like intermingled, and so like Audrey's like double starseed royalty, and they're like, that is a total violation. Do you know that all of this is going to be reported to her people? Same thing with Nyara Tierra Isley. She has this
Yes.
very similar testimony that
I
she's
know
given
Nara,
out
yeah.
to exactly. And after that, the programs, I wouldn't say kid gloves, but it was a lot less bad and traumatic than what they had been doing before they were told. Hands off.
Yes. What'll happen sometimes, either like an emissary, an ET of some kind, or even at times the albino Draco will directly intervene and saying, back off, clown. It's, you leave this one alone, right? So there is this element of being, like a made person where they despite their best efforts, and it frustrates the hell out of them. I mean, they
Good.
growl, they're just absolutely pissed off that they can't do anything
Good.
about it. But they can't because
Excellent.
it's because the punishment that they will receive. And also, I've known of cases where, these factions similar to, once again, to the mob wars here on the surface, where like a faction of the reptilians tries to break away, get away from the black goo element, get away from the snake entity element, but they try to either reel them back in or destroy them, the main faction. And a lot of times these breakaway factions will help people like us. They will help abductees and my lab. So I don't have this black and white view because it looks like a lizard brain,
Exactly. Of course. Of
because
course.
a lot of
Sometimes the
us were.
enemy of your enemy can be your friends. They can
No,
be.
this is cosmic counter-espionage. It's like, we have friends, we have enemies, we just have to walk that fine line. So this is a fascinating discussion. You want to tell
Good.
people how they can find our website and talk a little bit about the conference, and then we'll take a little break.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me briefly perhaps I could share my screen. And
Yeah,
I
let me
just
give
want
you
to
permission.
show,
Hold on.
yeah, thank you. I think I have it.
Oh, there you
And I
go.
just want to share, just because it's really worth sharing, the Full Disclosure Now website. If you just go to www.fulldisclosurelive, everyone, we got a countdown, 9 days, 14 hours, 47 minutes. So you can buy your tickets here. We have discounts if you go 2025 FDNC James 17. You'll get a 17% discount off your general admissions, and 17% of all sales using that code will go back to James Bartley here, your favorite presenter. Here's me, yours truly. We got a brief trailer there in the beginning. But we got everyone from Brad Olson, Miles Johnson, James Bartley flying all the way from Australia, Lucas Alexander, Age of Truth TV. We mentioned Yemi and the Farsight Institute, Rion de Ruin and Tone Millard of Team Light. .com, Laura Eisenhower, great granddaughter of President Eisenhower. Jean-Charles Moyen is a French super soldier. His testimony is mind-blowing, as is everyone's. Tom Althaus, they stole the Matrix from him. He has a stamped copy of the script for the Matrix and broken down fight scenes from 1993. Met with Joel Silver of Warner Brothers, 96. 1999, the Matrix comes out. The other lady who testifies to it being hers, maybe she got similar downloads. I'm not discounting her. I do know what Tom's got. Sean Bond and Isha, he's got like Merlin lineage, and she's, Egyptian type, probably Atlantean priestess or Lemurian. I mentioned Christopher and Joanna, they're in touch with Sasquatch or the forest people. Matthew Mornian has a lot of mantis being contact among other ETs and reptilian. We mentioned Penny and the black goo and Nachtwaffen. Jessica Jones, a cryptid huntress, great friend of mine. Antonia Lau has been on the scene for years, talking about her angelic and prophetic visions. particularly in regards to pole shift and earth change. So I'm a big prepper as well. Drago Reed, we mentioned about Kruger. Paul and Cheryl do a Tesla table technology. Actually, we have to move. Joshua has to be removed. Unfortunately, he had to pull out for this event. But Sarah R. Adams, one of my besties, she's going to be hosting the meet and greet. Samuel Chong translated the Thayuba prophecies and has a lot of research and knew the French author of the Thayuba prophecies before he passed. Unfortunately, Brooks can't make it. Daniel and Derek, their grandfather, wrote "About My Life with Above Cosmos Clearance." He was a UFO crash retrieval person, and both Daniel and Derek were in the programs briefly as children. Soma R is flying from Ireland to channel the Pleiadians. Nathan was in the programs, and he's also known as a Haujian contact with ETs. Gina Virginia Cassell is a shamanistic healer. Alondra Markman is very well known and known from the Montauk Project from many people, and vice versa. He remembers them. Christy Campbell, we were talking about her. Micah Dank, astrotheologist, and was a an apprentice to Jordan Maxwell. We mentioned Susan Long as being the real life Phoenix. Nate Gray, the comic book character. Nate Gray is probably based on him. Nate Gray. Sue Whitaker as ET contactee, there's a lot of wisdom to share. Michael is a contact, an experiencer in his own right, and a podcast host. We mentioned David; he has memories of me. Veronica also from the Hulk program, and people have memories of her. Audrey Walters, we talked about. Kate Rose. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Oh, Michael's listed twice. We got to fix that. Trevor. Egyptologist Stella. I've got more people to add, but I don't want to wear out my web admin. The VIP passes. We had our first VIP pass sold and several others. This gives you exclusive access to the presenters and the executive team. If you want to help play a role in shaping how the full disclosure movement goes, as far as at least as we're concerned, this is an excellent way to support the movement, dollar for dollar. This is all money going back out into the movement. I operate the conferences at over $100,000 a loss last year and this year, and I don't care. It's for the movement. But don't anyone thinking, oh, Brian's charging all this money. It's so expensive. He must be making so much money. No, people, you contact me. I'll show you my checking and how it works. We have the weekend of being that Saturday and Sunday to tag our Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of awesomeness on St. Pete Beach. James, I really look forward to you being there and partying with you on the beach. It's not just the stage time for me. It's the face to face. I'm not a margarita guy, but you get the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our amazing sponsors, the Unex Network. I want to give them a shout out. Ida Farhat, executive producer. She's doing her own boutique thing. Vital Creations is a Tesla Beds. Fresh Mouth, the great supporters and sponsors. They do nano silver toothpaste. I love it, among other things. No fluoride in your toothpaste, people. Bad. So thank you for having me on. Oops, there, James. And I know you're in Australia, so with time zones and all. Thank you for accommodating me out here and having me on. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
It's quite all right. Would you be available for another segment, about 40 minutes?
Anytime. I would love to. Oh
Okay.
yeah, I can keep going.
Okay,
Especially if you
sure.
got a
Well,
bonus.
let's take a short break right now for our
Let's
dear
do it.
listeners and viewers out there. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top in the next segment.